The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Welcome to the podcast, Stu, along with Mr. Glenn Beck.
Who... You know, we should probably plan something for our tour.
You think so?
The tour happens next week at a city near you.
Yeah. Glennbeck.com/tour for tickets. Yeah. And, we have some stuff planned, but we probably need to finish that thing up.
Yeah, the people who are touring with us, you know, the tour company, if you will, they've never done it before. And so they're freaking out, and they're like, Glenn, you gotta, we don't know what you're even gonna say. And I'm like, we got it. We need something written. No, we don't really work that way.
Yeah. We should probably have some idea
some
what we're
idea.
Doing.
Well,
yeah,
we do have some idea, and that involves a lot of poking fun at the left.
Surprise.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Addicted to Outrage Tour. It's happening next few weeks. So go to glennbeck.com/tour. Get your tickets. There's a few left.
Ohio, Virginia, Pennsylvania, I think Indiana maybe, and Florida is left still. So there's lots of places to see us. Join us. Get your tickets now. glennbeck.com/tour.
We talked with the started the show talking about pipe bombs.
Yeah,
because that's the big story. Obviously, all these bombs all over the place. None of them actually doing the things that bombs are supposed to do, but they did look like bombs for sure.
Kind of in a cartoon sort of way. I've dubbed this pipe bomber Wile E. Coyote, and we explain right at the top.
Also, we talk about Megyn Kelly. She's getting a lot of heat now because over comments she made about Halloween costumes. And they are now going to push her out of NBC, it looks like. The amazing hypocrisy from the media and the left and NBC over the story. It's just...
Hypocrisy at NBC.
I know, it's crazy.
It's a little strange that they were that she was the most outspoken on the sexual harassment cases at NBC that they wanted to sweep under the rug. They were just waiting for a way to butcher Megyn Kelly.
Mm. And the migrant caravan still coming. We have Senator Mike Lee on to talk about the latest on that.
Yeah,
as well.
You don't want to miss it. It's all in today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program. It's Thursday, October 25th.
Brick House Nutrition, they do a great job because they do two things for you.
Yeah.
One, they get you the vegetables you're supposed to have.
Yes.
Mommy told you to eat your vegetables. You never do it.
Uh-huh.
And that's why Field of Greens is created. You just put a scoop into like a smoothie or, you know, whatever you're eating
seconds.
Or drinking. Juice. So,
you don't have to have a salad. You don't have to have broccoli. You don't have to have Brussels sprouts. You don't have to have any of it. I'm such a fan of this.
Yeah. It's a great idea. It's like a hall pass on the vegetable thing. And then they also have Dawn to Dusk, which is great if you are the type of person who goes through long meetings with someone like Glenn Beck in the middle of the day and have to somehow
stay awake
and aware.
I'm the one who falls asleep with meetings with you.
You'll like this a lot. Go to brickhouseglenn.com. Use the promo code Glenn. Get 15% off your first order. Again, it's brickhouseglenn.com. Experience a better you tomorrow. Again, use the promo code Glenn to get 15% off.
Glenn Beck.
Are we really going to start like that?
Is Daffy Duck hosting a show today?
9 suspicious packages and 8 extremely ridiculous looking improvised explosive devices, or ERLIEDs. 8 have been counted so far. The Clintons, the Obamas, Eric Holder, John Brennan, care of CNN, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, George Soros, Maxine Waters, and Robert De Niro, all recipients of these extremely ridiculous IEDs. So, first, all of these pipe bombs. To get an accurate comparison, you'd have to watch a Warner Brothers Saturday morning cartoon to see anything even remotely close. This, I'm shocked that they don't say Acme bomb on it. Pipe bombs are made from steel. Why? The reason steel is used, because the entire purpose of the bomb is to utilize the steel shrapnel when it explodes. You put the explosive inside the pipe. When it blows up, the pipe breaks up and you have shards that tear people apart. Well, the attacker, who the press is saying has a real level of sophistication. In what world? This attacker, who I'm giving the code name Wile E. Coyote, has made his bomb out of plastic PVC pipe. Plastic. So when it blows up, it vaporizes the plastic. It defeats the entire purpose of a pipe bomb. Also, the devices had protruding wires coming out of the PVC pipe with a big, ridiculous-looking digital timer taped to it. Again, this is not something... You go on the internet, it never shows you to build a bomb this way. All of the wires in the detonator usually concealed inside the pipe. I don't know, goes through an X-ray machine. You see a big metal pipe. Probably is not going to make it to whoever it is you're sending, unless you're sending it to their home. But if you have a long pipe-like thing, and it shows wires, and in the X-ray you can see that there's a timer on the outside, it's definitely not going anywhere. This is Wile E. Coyote leaving 8 overly large sticks of dynamite with a big alarm clock lashed to it with the words Acme Bomb stamped on the outside. But where our bomber really messed up is he didn't leave a big plate of bird seed next to the envelope. If he would have had that, success. I didn't even mention the fact that a parody ISIS flag was taped to the device, which is, it was a right-wing meme. Now, let's go over this. So you got a plastic pipe. You have an Acme-style bomb. None of them have gone off. And you took the time to print a meme that has the ISIS flag, and underneath it, it's a quote from Larry the Cable Guy that says, "Get her done." Except none of your bombs get it done. None. They've had zero chance of making it through security screening. And Wile E. Coyote, I think, must have known that. At some point, the coyote's got to go, "This damn roadrunner keeps getting away. Maybe it's me." Do you think Hillary Clinton actually personally checks her mailbox every time, you know, to see if her Amazon Prime order came in? Do you think George Soros does? Every person that has been sent one of these packages has mail screening. These devices were not designed to kill, but to be detected, caught, and seen. Wile E. Coyote wanted a media circus, and boy, did he get one. Now, I am not going to speculate whether Wile E. really is from the right or from the left. I don't know. There's a lot of nut jobs out that are looking to change narratives before the midterms. No one knows yet. This could be a kid that just thought this would be funny. Again, there's no chance these bombs would go off. So maybe it's a kid. Maybe it's a guy who's so screwed up, he just doesn't even know what he's doing. There's also the possibility someone knew exactly what they were doing and wanted to send a message one way or the other. This, however, is not stopping the left from jumping on this. I mean, you never let a crisis go to waste. By noon yesterday, we hadn't even found all the bombs. By noon yesterday, Paul Waldman of the Washington Post already had an article out blaming Donald Trump. Quote, Given what Trump has done and said, this was absolutely predictable. In fact, it's a wonder that it took this long. It's not just that Trump advocates violence against his political opponents, though he does. It's everything about his rhetoric that pushes his supporters in that direction. You know what? This coming from the same guy that if it is ever found out that it is a left-wing guy or just a crazy person, they will never report that. Could I ask when the president has actually called for violence? Now, you could say in some of his campaign rallies where he's like, rough them up. Okay, I'll give you that. Calling the media fake news is not calling for violence. I don't like it, but that's not calling for violence. Encouraging your electorate to harass people in their homes, their restaurants, places of business, Maxine Waters. Isn't that the equivalent of calling for violence, declaring the end of civility, Hillary Clinton? I mean, I could go on. But we all know the left's narrative, and you heard it again yesterday, and it will continue until the midterms is over. Or that's complete bullcrap. It will continue and continue and continue. Many of our friends in the left-leaning mainstream media were just utterly shocked that this kind of attack occurred. One person remarked how they'd never seen anything like this directed at just one side of the spectrum. First of all, that would force one to deny that the latest pipe bomb was sent to Mike Pence. But I don't know how hard it is for the people in the news media. I don't know how hard it is for you to go back so deep in your memory bank. You might need a hypnotist or therapist to bring this memory back. It's so long ago. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's just a couple of weeks ago. The Ricin letters just sent to the White House. James Mattis, FBI Director Christopher Wray, CIA Director Gina Haspel, Air Force Secretary Heather Wilson, Chief of Naval Operations Admiral John Richardson. Did you just happen to forget about all of those? Or should I take you back to the baseball diamond, which was way back? I mean, how old were you in 2017? I barely remember. Was I walking at the time? I don't even know. And as far as the identity of Wile E. Coyote, for those of you in the mainstream media, it's really best not to speculate. If you don't know, you should say you don't know. Here's who I think this is. I don't know. There's no evidence on anything. Everything is speculation. And if I would say, I think this is a left-wing person trying to ramp everybody up, what would that do? That would juice the people listening, and they'd say, oh my gosh, that's exactly right. So why is it you feel so comfortable demonizing Donald Trump and all of his supporters and blaming this on Donald Trump and all of his supporters when you have nothing but a cartoon bomb? You know, if you just get on and say, we don't have the facts, let's wait for the facts. You do something like that, and something crazy happens. It's almost unthinkable. You can actually keep or begin to rebuild something, I know it's old-timey, called credibility. But you'd have to be interested in having some credibility to be able to gain it. Jason Buttrill, who is with us, that he is former former military intel, knows a little something about bombs and IEDs. Jason, how ridiculous is this bomb?
The most ridiculous looking bomb I've ever seen. It's when we first looked at it, I think I was reading a tweet by Jake Tapper, and he was talking about how these were designed for mass murder. And I was looking at it, and I was like, no, not really. I mean, it's you were just talking about it. It's plastic, which defeats the entire purpose of a pipe bomb. The shrapnel is what's dangerous in a pipe bomb. The explosives inside are just to make it, like, basically build pressure. Mm-hmm. So usually it's potassium nitrate, I think charcoal. And,
okay, we don't need to give people through a how-to guide.
Yeah, all right. But there's another ingredient that they actually talked about, which is, again, that goes towards the detonation of it, that they said they did detect some of that in there, but they didn't talk about the other ingredients. So, again, everything is so speculative about it, but everything points to a guy that really did not know what he was doing.
Or somebody who did know what they're doing, but they didn't want it to work.
Right. It had no, I mean, you're looking at this thing, there was, you know, and I've also spent some time in some insecurity. All the people that they sent these packages to, they have screening services, whether it's the Secret Service, private security, or like places like CNN, all media companies have the same thing. Mm-hmm. You would think that this person would know.
Well,
there's no chance this gets to them.
The coverage I heard yesterday was this was a sign of how advanced and serious this situation was.
Well, there was a level of sophistication.
A level of sophistication because he had sent, or she, by the way, he or she had sent,
it was a white man.
Had sent some of these bombs to home offices and residences where there wouldn't be the screening, rather than sending them through like the congressional mail service, which would definitely be screened.
Well, can I tell you something? I know this is true because I've seen pictures, and you can just imagine Hillary Clinton coming out in her bathrobe and her fuzzy slippers with a cigarette hanging from her mouth as she gets the paper and the mail every day when she gets up.
Whose home did it go to that didn't have a screen?
Clinton.
Well, Soros.
Clinton's,
for sure.
Soros. Mm-hmm.
Both of them have private security.
Of course.
Or Secret Service at their homes.
Right.
They get all their mail. You have private security. You don't get your mail.
I don't.
Like,
we
right
never
off.
Open our mailbox. I remember one time my kids went to open the mailbox. I said, do not open the mailbox. Don't open the mailbox.
Scary world for these kids.
It is.
Who are those people referring to?
Right.
I don't know all the addresses. Again, like it was just the coverage. And that was one of their, they were saying that this was, I guess, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. They sent it. Now she is, I mean, she's not even in Congress anymore, right? So, but they sent her to the office that it went sent back to her office. They said was one that would maybe not have screening. I didn't fact check their claim, but mm-hmm. that was what they were attempting to pass off as sophistication. Now, I've never built a bomb. Don't intend to in my life. But it would you say it, that you would make it plastic to get past screening? Because if you put a big metal pipe, it's going to be more obvious, right?
Yeah, if you did it to get past screening, that's good. But that shows that you have no idea what you're even doing. You're not even. But you have a very low IQ, or you're a young kid that just thought it was funny. But it shows that you do not understand why a pipe bomb is destructive.
But the answer is no. A plastic PVC pipe bomb, it will not get you. It'll still be detected because that's why he had the, in my opinion, that's why he had the wires and the big ridiculous, basically equivalent of alarm clock taped to this stupid thing. Was right. Because like you've seen like at the airport, like sometimes you're like, hey, maybe I can slip in this bottle of water, you know, like if I put it in, you know, like there's no slipping this past the screening.
Right.
Like,
it's that obvious.
It's that obvious.
I think too, the other two things that back this up are one, you made it in a way that was so none of them blew up. Right. Like,
yeah,
again, you sent 10 bombs around the country. None of them explode. Right. Like, so it seems to be that maybe you didn't want them to explode. Possibly. The other part is, why do you put a sticker with a meme on there,
okay,
right? Unless it's not going to explode and people are going to be able to
right.
see it.
And yeah. I want to get into that. And I also want to ask the question, why would you put an alarm clock on it in the mail?
Yeah.
You don't know when it's going off. You don't know
right.
where it's going. Why is there a clock right. on this thing?
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Well, of course there should be skepticism. We've had these things have happened 100 times.
Unbelievable.
Someone just...
Listen to this. I suppose he thinks the communists didn't set fire to the Reichstag as well.
I mean, you, of course, take a moment to consider, and there's no reason to come to a conclusion because we have no idea at this point. But you, the these statements that have come out from CNN and every, you know, people just outwardly blaming the right and Donald Trump for this. Look, I don't. We first of all, you can't blame Donald Trump for the act unless you think he actually was responsible. Does anyone think that he actually sent the bombs and brought them to George Soros's house?
Well, no, but I think Ivanka might have.
Unless you think he's actually responsible, you're responsible for your own actions. We know that. But beyond that, if you're gonna, you have to look at this in some with some level of skepticism to try to understand. We are a week before an election, right? Or less than 2 weeks, at least. You know, the idea that the left would be victimized by this hatred of Donald Trump. There's an obvious incentive to make America feel that way right now. That does not mean that this was someone trying to frame the right. It absolutely could be. There are nut jobs on the right that could do this, and probably many of them stupid enough to get none of the bombs to go off. It's certainly possible, but they are acting as if you have to be Alex Jones to not believe this is Donald Trump's fault. You do not have to be Alex Jones to look at this with some skeptical eye. Not to say that, you know, that
since
you're proving anything, but you have to at least keep your mind open to the idea that there are nut jobs on both sides with crazy motivations in an intense time. Look what they did to freaking Kavanaugh. You had people saying he was a gang rapist to stop it.
Here's the amazing thing. Do you remember the time right after 9/11 for the first few years when something would be sent, something would happen, and we would hope that it was somebody from the Middle East? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Where we didn't want it to be an American, no matter mm-hmm. which side they were on. We didn't want that to happen. Now, we just are dogpiling on it's them. It's them. Whichever them it you know helps your political position, it's them. We don't even consider anything else. We don't even consider that, I don't know, maybe the Russians are involved. Maybe this is just an outside influence.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But we're not even considering it. We have zero evidence of anything, and everyone is, the media is just condemning the right. You have no evidence, and I guarantee you, if they find this guy and he is mentally disturbed and has no real understanding of anything that he's doing, or he's left, you will not hear that. They will change the narrative immediately to, well, this kind of thing happens, and it happens all the time, and it could happen where it did go off, and it could happen where it is a right-wing extremist. Sure. They'll just change the narrative. It won't slow them down at all.
What did you think? What's the part of this that's getting your attention, Pat?
Well, first of all, the fact that none of them have gone off.
Yeah.
And the list of the people involved, too, it is pretty stereotypical.
I swear,
right-wing targets.
I have dubbed this bomber codename Wile E. Coyote. The only thing he didn't do is leave a plate of birdseed next to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so obvious. It's cartoonish.
To start with George Soros and to include Robert De Niro. And all of these
Maxine Waters,
all of the typical places. It's just too convenient. It's too much. They don't go off. And it's that perfect list of the people that the right really doesn't like. That perfect list.
It's a cartoon list.
It is.
It's a cartoon list.
It is.
Now, don't get me wrong. And I think you're probably saying this too. It could be.
It could be a right-wing person.
It could be a right-wing person.
Sure.
We
yes.
have no idea.
Right.
But if it is a right-wing person, they live in a cartoon world.
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
They're ridiculous. They're so inept that they can't make a bomb. They don't even understand why you wouldn't use plastic for a pipe bomb. That much to CNN's chagrin when they said yesterday, well, shows a level of sophistication. No, it doesn't. There's no level of sophistication here.
None of them went off. Right? Like, right. Again, like, there's no... If you can't get one of the 10 to go off, what level of sophistication do you have? It's pretty low.
And it's so cartoonish. There's no level of sophistication.
I like this. Can you guys help me figure out the needle CNN is attempting to thread here? They write... This is from Brian Stelter's newsletter.
Oh, jeez.
Most of the recipients were prominent Democrats. Or as the Washington Post succinctly put it, amid incendiary rhetoric, targets of Trump's words become targets of bombs. That's not the same as blaming Trump.
Wait,
like many people on TV on Wednesday, I specifically said I wasn't blaming Trump for the crimes of a madman.
Oh, shut
up. News industry executives have repeatedly warned that Trump's reckless attacks against the media are having real-world consequences.
Yeah, none of Maxine Waters' words are having any kind of consequences, are they?
No.
None of those.
No, these aren't mobs. These are not mobs.
These
are just people gathering together who are very passionate about what they believe
in. I don't even want you to utter the word mob. Right. I'd like you to call it the M word.
And how dare you even say Antifa is a problem? Antifa's not a problem.
If reckless, we're talking about a bombing. Reckless attacks against the media are having real world consequences. What are the real world consequences you're talking about?
On the day of the bomb showing up.
Right. In the middle of a paragraph about the bombing and how harsh rhetoric can lead to bombings. You're saying you're not blaming him, but you're also pointing out that his words have real world consequences. Like, of course you're blaming him. Just come out and admit it. Just come out and admit it.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
Well, we're less than a week from Halloween, so you know what that means. It's time for the political police to come out, the cultural appropriation political police. They have to scour every Halloween party for culturally insensitive costumes and microaggressions. Prepare to be not scared, offended. Well, actually, unless you're part of the, you know, new progressive, new postmodern movement, if you're a part of that, prepare to be offended. If you're not part of that, you should be afraid this Halloween, because they're out to destroy you. What would a holiday gathering be without constant politicalization of every single action of every single person in attendance? I mean, really? I mean, that's what I like about this. Well, we got a nice preview of the outrage this year with all the tantrums that NBC News' Megyn Kelly has caused with an admittedly tone-deaf but overall harmless opinion on Megyn Kelly today during what should have been a civil conversation between four adults. Here's the clip.
Sometimes I talk and sometimes I listen. And yesterday I learned. I learned that given the history of blackface being used in awful ways by racists in this country, it is not okay for that to be part of any costume, Halloween or otherwise.
Okay, this, stop.
I have never been a PC.
Stop. Stop. You've got to be kidding me. She was sitting at a table and she said there was a lady who got into trouble just recently because she wanted to go as Diana Ross. She was white, so she painted her face black. She went as Diana Ross. She wasn't making fun of Diana Ross or black people. She was going as Diana Ross. She's like, I don't see the harm there. Is there harm there? They should have had a civil discussion about it. Well, yeah, actually, no. Instead, what the political correct police did is call her in, and I don't have any idea, but probably threaten her with everything and saying, this is it, scared her to death until she came out like in 1984 and said, I'm guilty, I am guilty, I am guilty. What does that teach people? That teaches people be afraid. It doesn't teach people to open their hearts. It didn't teach anything about anything on blackface. except be afraid, and be afraid of even asking a question. Al Roker got steamed up about it. The fact is, while she apologized to the staff, she owes a bigger apology to the folks of color around the country. Does she? Does she? How, if you are a person of color, has this affected your life? Has Megyn Kelly affected your life in any way by asking the question? I don't know. Is there a problem with that? Has that really been, oh my gosh, my kids, they can't sleep at night. Oh, really? You got to be kidding me. So she began with two words, I'm sorry. She said, I don't want to, you know, add to anybody's pain. Do you think she did? Do you think Megyn Kelly was sitting there going, oh, man. This, you know what? On today's show, I'm going to bring up that lady, Diana Ross, and I'm just going to cause people pain. She says, thanks for listening and helping me listen to. No. I didn't hear it. I don't know what was said to you off air. There's a lot of people in the audience that probably said, yeah, I mean, they don't mean offense. How is this a problem? How is this a problem? Well, we don't know. We just know, shut up. Apologies aren't good enough anymore. They're not good enough. Doesn't matter. We're in the throes of cultural lawlessness. Executions on demand. Context, common sense, doesn't matter. Execute them. Hang them. Get rid of them. Guess what's happening next? She dropped by CAA? I think she was dropped by her talent agency. She's a pariah now. She's a pariah. And people will say, on the right, good. Really? Good. Good. People on the left will say, good. How has Megyn Kelly affected anyone's life?
Well, she has made it very difficult for NBC to live down their sexual harassment and assault that's been going around their offices. She keeps bringing that up. She was very serious and one of the biggest critics of NBC in the way they handled some of those allegations. Mm. And seemingly, they are really finding a quick way. It seems to be to me that maybe she has a target on her for some of those things that she said. Which is kind of fascinating because NBC, I mean, as we know, they're going to talk to us constantly about the inequality between the sexes and how those conservatives are really bad. Roy Moore, he's a bad guy. But we're going to find when it comes to people like Matt Lauer and Brokaw and how many more at NBC, it's been one of the biggest, and not to mention ignoring the Harvey Weinstein thing for how long. Remember, they employed Ronan Farrow when he was writing the story and they gave it to The New Yorker. All of that goes on, and Megyn Kelly happens to be one of the biggest critics of what happened at NBC, and yet, you know, she has one comment that people don't like, and she's gone. That's fascinating.
NBC News Chairman Andy Lack released a statement following her comments. There is no other way to put this, but I condemn those remarks. There is no place on our air or in this workplace for those kinds of words. I mean, touchy-feely guys, that's fine. But words? No. I'm sorry, I added that. Quote, it's very unfortunate, end quote. What is unfortunate is that America has devolved into a country of oversensitive crybabies who take offense at the slightest thing. And you know what? I don't even think it's America. I don't think it's Americans. I really don't. I don't think that it's the vast, but I don't think it's 80 or 90% of this country that are crybabies. They're sick of this. It's about maybe 5 to 10% of America, and many of them in the media, and many of them in politics, and the last place, probably the last comes first, academia. You should be coddled. The slightest thing upsets you. Well, that's not American. It's not. We're the ones. You know what? I have a picture of my grandmother. She crossed the Rocky Mountains in a wagon train. Okay, she looks like me in a dress with a bonnet. Okay, she also kind of looks a little like a pirate. You know why? Because on the wagon train, her eye was poked out. You know what she did? She wiped her face and kept going. She didn't whine. She didn't cry about it. She's like, "Ah, crap. Shouldn't have run with that. I poked my eye out." And she moved on. That's who Americans are. Yes, bad things happen. We move on. Yes, people say things that I don't like. We move on. Yes, things have changed. We're evolving. We're learning new things. Some things are outdated. Some things that are good are just being tossed out the window. And somebody should say, wait a minute, let's not throw that away. Megyn Kelly ought to know that blackface is awful. Yes, it's no longer acceptable. But you know what? If it's a costume that is purposefully ridiculing a race, as blackface has done historically, yes, it's not kosher, nor should it be. But notice what is happening here with Kelly. Being fired not because she wore blackface, but because of words, an idea, a question. It's not even she was advocating, she was questioning. Why? Why is this wrong if I'm not ridiculing people? Why is this wrong? That person liked Diana Ross. Wanted to be like Diana Ross in a costume. Why is this wrong? I think that deserves an answer. Instead, what we got was an apology. I am so sorry. I shouldn't have. Oh, please don't beat me. Please don't beat me, Master. Please don't beat me. I don't want another whipping. Please don't beat me. Are you kidding me? How are we supposed to learn if we don't have civil conversations? And yes, once in a while, we ask a question that's politically incorrect. The criteria in America right now has narrowed so far that it is almost nothing. It takes almost nothing to get you fired. You know what we should do? We should take Megyn Kelly and we should take her down to the river and we should put a bunch of rocks around her and throw her into the river. If she floats, we know she's a bigoted racist. If she doesn't, well, we'll know that she was innocent. This is so ridiculous how similar it is to the thought crimes that Orwell wrote about in 1984. Here's a passage for anybody who, you know, hasn't thought of something called a book in a while. The main character, Winston Smith, training himself to avoid thought crimes. Here it is, quote, "The mind should develop a blind spot whenever a dangerous thought presented itself. The process should be automatic, instinctive. Crime stop." That's what they call it in newspeak. He set to work to exercise himself in crime stop. He presented himself with propositions. The party says the earth is flat. The party says that ice is heavier than water. And trained himself in not seeing or understanding the arguments that contradicted them. End quote. Here's another one. Quote, "If you made an unexpected movement and then they yelled at you from the telescreen, swap telescreen. Swap telescreen with what? Twitter." And here we are in reality. Let me read that one more time. If you said something unexpected, If you made unexpected movements, they yelled at you through the telescreen. I don't want to ruin 1984 for you, but let me just say, it's not the kind of world we want to end up in. Unfortunately, not enough people read anymore. You should, because it is exactly the world we're creating.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
You would think that this would be the moment for Michael Moore, wouldn't you? Every utopian dream that he had is starting to come true. Americans are socialist. Social Democrats are starting to take the mask off and say, yes, capitalism is dead. We need a new system. So why is Michael Moore invisible? Why isn't this Michael Moore's moment in the sunlight?
With us is Kyle Smith, who has an interesting take on this. And I hadn't thought about it this way, but I think he's right. This is he's from the National Review, and he wrote this in the New York Post as well. Kyle, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So where is Michael Moore now? Because his movie was a huge flop. He's just nowhere to be found.
He's totally irrelevant. You may remember Fahrenheit 9/11 was a very big deal in 2004. It broke all box office records for a documentary. Made $120 million, made more money than Anchorman, which I think came out the same day or the same month. Wow. He was a hugely important cultural figure back then. And this movie, slamming Bush on his strongest grounds, there's some evidence that it may have helped turn around the presidential race, because Bush was way ahead at that point. Kerry started to sneak ahead around the time this movie came out. He really succeeded in throwing a lot of mud on George W. Bush and made the presidential race closer than it would have been. Fahrenheit 11/9, he tries to do the same thing with Trump. No one's buying it. No one's going to see it. It was released on 1,700 screens a few weeks ago, which is a ton of screens for a documentary. It cost many millions of dollars to do that, because you have to give the theater owners assurances that you'll cover their overhead, their electricity bills, and things like that. It sold about 40, 45 tickets a night, its first night in theaters, and it's just sort of plummeted from then. You have to assume most of his fans are in places like New York and Beverly Hills, so that means in the heartland, basically totally empty theaters showing this movie. And so far it's grossed just over $6 million, which for a wide release is very, very little. His fans will say that's a lot for a documentary, but documentaries typically come out in a few theaters and they platform and they build from there. That way they don't lose that much money, but you lose a lot of money if you put a movie out in 1,700 theaters and nobody goes to see it.
So what's your theory?
Well, when he started his shtick back in with Roger and Me, which was a movie about him attacking the chairman of General Motors, he's trying to get an interview with him and sort of savaging him for various reasons. Back then, it was a sort of a unique combination of left-wing and comedy, right? And then he moved on to Bowling for Columbine, which is sort of a serious movie, sort of a comedy. It wound up making the totally crazy case that the Columbine murder should be blamed on the military-industrial complex, because he found there's a DirecTV satellite factory sort of nearby, which is sort of military-industrial. That kind of like way left rhetoric was rare back then, and hardly anyone was combining it with comedy. But now you can say that Jon Stewart and The Daily Show are very much inspired by this kind of comedy. And all the other late night comics, people like Jimmy Kimmel, who used to do The Man Show and used to be totally apolitical, even they are doing political comedy. Jimmy Kimmel's got this comic who works for him, where he sends him to do these kind of Michael Moore-like stunts where he like talks to Trump supporters and things like that, kind of thing Michael Moore used to do. Michael Moore used to be the only one doing this. Now other people are doing it, and they're a lot more talented than he is. Stephen Colbert does very left-wing polemics combined with comedy. It's everywhere you look, and these people have talented staffs of comedy writers doing their jokes for him, whereas Michael Moore's, you know, he was funny for a polemicist at the time, but he's not really funny enough to be a stand-up comedian, as we saw in his basically stand-up comedy show, Michael Moore in Trump Land, which came out in 2016, right during the weeks before the election. He was hoping to sway the election to Hillary.
When you say, like we saw, I don't think you're... Yeah. You should be careful with the use of we, because I don't think I could find two people, maybe you, and I don't know who else in this audience might have seen that.
Yeah, I think that grossed like $1 million. I mean, all of his movies have flopped in the past few years, and they've gone worse and worse. Sicko did okay about 12 years ago, his movie about health insurance, in which he claimed that the Cuban healthcare system was better than the U.S. healthcare system. His sort of insane rants are no longer that rare. You can find them everywhere. And basically, I think the youth audience that used to go to his movies, I remember Bowling for Columbine, getting a lot of young people in their 20s were really excited about that movie. They've forgotten about it. They moved on to Jimmy Kimmel and Colbert and The Daily Show and all these other alternate forms of comedy. And, you know, Michael Moore is... He's not really funny enough to be a comic. And
are you saying that it's just that he's not funny, or that is there anything to be said for the fact that this kind of stuff, you know, you can get the actual people, you get the people in office now saying these crazy things. So he's not the rebel anymore. It's not, right. This is not, you know, he was revolutionary and we're a rebels, you know, alliance, and we all got to, you know, we're all in it together. Well, now you've got Nancy Pelosi saying all the same stuff that he was saying.
Right. There's no scarcity value to what he does anymore. Everyone's doing it. There's a kind of pathetic moment at the end of Fahrenheit 11/9 where he does this Hitler montage and he's trying to say Trump is like Hitler. He's like interplaying the speeches of Trump and Hitler. But guess what? Everyone's been saying Trump is like Hitler on the left for about 3 years. He's the last one to this Trump is Hitler party. It's so boring. It's so been done to death.
I think it's an amazing observation of just where the culture has gone. Because we have, at that point, it was a big deal when someone came out and essentially advocated for socialism in America. I mean, even we talked about with Bernie Sanders in 2013 coming out with Medicare for All. He got no co-sponsors on that bill in 2013. Now every major Democratic candidate is pitching for that policy.
And they're not just talking about socialism. You know, there's a problem in America where we look at Canada and say that's a socialized nation. No, it's not. That's a capitalist nation that has socialized medicine and has other things.
All sorts of welfare state.
Yeah, has welfare state. That's not a socialist nation. And they're now on the left pointing that out, that we're calling for an end of capitalism. I mean, we've gone further than just saying, yeah, we're socialists like Canadians. No. They're now saying, no, we want an end to capitalism. And they're still getting elected.
Michael Moore's been the leader of that parade for a while, but now he's kind of in back of it. It's kind of gotten ahead of him. He closed his movie Capitalism, a Love Story with the communist anthem that used to be the Soviet national anthem. And that kind of thing is just not that special anymore because the whole Democratic Party's gone so far left.
So what does that say to you? Does that say we're in a lot more trouble than people might think? What does it say to you that this isn't shocking at all?
I think the Democratic Party is not doing themselves any favor by moving way to the left of Obama. Obama at the time seemed like daringly far left, but that's about as far left as they really should dare to go. They really should stay out of all this transgender stuff. They should really stay out of this open borders stuff. They should stay away from abolish ICE. They should stay away from Medicare for All. All the stuff that they're doing is not helping them at the polls. And the Republican Party, as a result, is in its strongest position since the 1920s.
Which is astounding. Yeah. Which is astounding for the opposition that it has had and the flaws that it is had as well. It's amazing that it is this strong, and that's only because I think of the Democrats moving so far left. I agree, Kyle. Thank you so much, Kyle Smith, critic at large for National Review.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
The migrant caravan is coming our way. The migrant caravan. That's not what this is. If anything, this is a humanitarian crisis because these people are being used. They're being used by political operatives in Honduras. Mike Lee, a senator who is always standing guard by our Constitution, welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you very much, Glenn.
So you wrote to me last night, and I'm not smart enough to understand it. You said there is a procedure that you're pushing for to hold these countries responsible and get them involved in stopping it. Can you explain?
Sure. What happened was that Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley and I sent a letter to the heads of the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of State suggesting that they work out an agreement with Mexico whereby Mexico would require people who enter Mexico, let's say from Honduras or from El Salvador or from any of these other countries in Central America where a lot of these people are coming from, with the intent of claiming asylum, that they would have to claim asylum in Mexico rather than in the United States. Now, this would be similar to an agreement that we already have in place with Canada and a rule imposed by the EU for refugees arriving in EU countries from Syria. In other words, when people are fleeing a country that's dangerous to them, that is particularly hostile toward them for some particular reason, such that they have an asylum claim, they ought to apply for asylum in the first country they reach that could be potentially safe. Here, that should be Mexico.
Isn't that normally what happens? I mean, I thought that when you wanted asylum, I think the United States government should be running ads. Do not come to America with your family because you will be turned away. If you're in danger, come to the closest U.S. embassy and apply for asylum. I mean, why aren't we? I thought that was what we always do.
Yeah, it should be more like that. And that's not really how it works. And nor do these people end up applying for asylum with Mexico. They're sort of going for the long bomb Hail Mary pass and trying to make it all the way to the United States. But this journey is itself dangerous. This journey is itself ripe with opportunities for people to be exploited. It's an exceptionally dangerous journey for many people, especially for children and for young women, many of whom are sexually assaulted during the journey.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the people claiming asylum turn out not to be able to make the case that they're even eligible for asylum. But once they're in the United States, it makes it much more difficult to get them back. And we think that the asylum application, if they're coming by land through Mexico, ought to be made to Mexico as they enter Mexico.
I talked to Greg Abbott the other day, and he said that he thought Mexico was working on something with the UN to put some sort of a camp there in Mexico for these refugees. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not, but I don't think that sounds like a great idea. I think that could become another potential magnet.
I agree.
For bringing people here. If the idea is to facilitate that journey, specifically the journey from somewhere else in Central America to the United States, that could become more of a problem. Again, you nailed it, Glenn, a few minutes ago in saying that the humanitarian crisis that we have to be focusing on here really is the crisis with the refugees themselves, having to make this long, dangerous journey, and then knowing that when they get here, the odds are pretty high that they're not going to be deemed eligible for asylum in any event. That just creates a whole lot of headaches for them in the process.
So, Mike, I got an email in yesterday from a listener in Honduras, a Honduras resident and a born and raised native in Honduras. Said, I've been following the news on the caravan here locally. Been also a fan of your show, watch your show, and I have to applaud you and your intel. The origins of this migrant march, this all erupted in 2009 when the president of Honduras, Manuel Zelaya, a lackey of Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro, was ousted constitutionally by the other two branches of government. Ever since then, we Hondurans have lived in chaos. Many of the things have been tried by Zelaya and his Partido Libre, which translates to Freedom Party, to destabilize our country. This latest stunt of Zelaya blames America and has made America is now reaping what it's sown type statements. He says that America must take in the migrants because America has supported the current administration that he claims has caused all the misery that we Hondurans are living through. Sadly, the migrants have been lied to and have been told that America must accept them. In one news report, a lady was interviewed, and she told the Honduran reporter that they were promised buses to travel on once they got to Guatemala, but there were no buses waiting for them. Some of the migrants have returned home. One 22-year-old man died in Mexico for reasons unknown as of yet. What's really sad and frustrating is many of these migrants have been told that they will get in and they'll have jobs waiting for them when they arrive in America. Therefore, many are good with hopes of a better life. But this is the type of situation that these criminals, who are the originators of this march, will take advantage of.
Somebody's messing with them. And we have to remember that most members of the caravan are ineligible for asylum. Earlier this year, the Department of Justice clarified that you cannot claim asylum simply because your home country is unsafe. By definition, by law, asylees face individual and particularized danger in their home countries. And because there's no legal basis for the vast majority of those in the caravan to remain in the United States, we end up doing what we can to prevent people from making the journey at all. But this statement you just read is part of this narrative, this false rhetoric that is perpetuating the problem. And I think it needs to be called out as such. Just because they have a country that is a mess, that a government that has made life unpleasant for everyone there, does not mean that any particular person necessarily has a valid claim for asylum in the United States.
Mike, have you heard anything, talking to Senator Mike Lee, have you heard anything about what Mike Pence revealed? I think it was not yesterday, day before, on that Venezuela is behind the funding of this.
I had not heard that, but we're hearing all the time different theories about who might be funding it. That is interesting. It's an interesting theory that Venezuela might be doing it because Venezuela is broke. Venezuela is perhaps as broke as any country in the region right now. And so that would really be something if they were doing it.
What do we do if they make it to the border, Mike? I mean, Univision, I think it's Univision, is reporting that number is now 14,000. I think that's hard to believe. But, you know, you even have 5,000 people at the border. What do we do?
It's difficult to say. I hope and pray that it doesn't come to that. Because, first of all, think about what that would do to our already overwhelmed immigration courts. Our immigration courts are nowhere near being ready to handle that kind of volume. They're nowhere near ready to be handling the kind of volume that they've already got. And so I suspect that we will need to bring out a whole lot of additional human resources, let's just say, in order to make sure that our border isn't completely overrun and that it doesn't just become a free-for-all for people to enter the country unlawfully. We have no idea, no ability to control who comes in once there's that kind of stampede coming in all at once. So we've got to protect our border.
Senator Mike Lee, last questions. Any comments on the multiple pipe bombs that were delivered?
That's tragic. It's frightening. I condemn anyone who did it, and I condemn anyone who says anything to applaud or encourage or support that kind of action. This is not something we can tolerate in American political discourse. And I look forward to the day when we find the perpetrators responsible. And I think they should be punished to the maximum extent possible under the law.
you would classify them. Let me rephrase that. I would classify whoever did this as terrorists. Would you classify Absolutely. Them as terrorists?
Without question. Without question. And they need to be punished as such.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Senator Mike Lee, author of Written Out of History, a great book. If you are looking to learn about the great people in our country that have passed, the people who have been written out of history, it's a book that is out now. Senator Mike Lee, always great to talk to you, sir.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.